Sadaf, I have a question for you. It's for my podcast, so I have a question for you. What is the scariest thing you ever had to do, and how did it feel like to actually do it? And yeah, looking forward to hearing the answer.
Good timing for a good question. I couldn't fall asleep. This gives me a good reason to talk. That's great. Thank you. The scariest thing for me was, and still is, to do stand-up comedy. Like opening yourself up to like such embarrassment. I think that was pretty scary.
Hi guys, welcome back to Unmapped, a podcast where I explore the answers to life-changing questions that were never taught to me in school, the possibilities of life that were never known to me from my upbringing. I first left China to live abroad when I was 20. Back then, I was a young adult who haven't seen much of the world outside. Well, imagine a zoo tiger getting into the wild for the first time. Even though I looked the same as others, especially with a heavy makeup I recently learned to cover up my innocence, I had no clue how to cope with most of the things my new life was throwing at me. My life was like stumbling into a house with no light. You had to feel things around to figure out where to put your feet. Or, oftentimes, you have to find out in a harder way, by knocking your head or bumping your elbows. That's what life seemed like for me. Like you, I learned a lot about life from sharing experiences with my friends, because we are so similar and yet so different. We are from different backgrounds with very different views. We are from different nationalities with different culture and different childhood. But we're all fighters in our lives. We are all in our 20s, trying to handle everything like grown-ups. Today, you will hear about their stories. And this is Sadaf. I knew him from my college. He's from Bangladesh. Among all the foreigners in our class, Sadaf was the only foreigner who actually made friends with local Chinese students. Back then, Sadaf had all the unpleasant experiences a foreigner can have trying to engage in a Chinese environment. But he never backed off. Now, 9 years in China, Sadaf has more life in China than I do. He has multiple jobs in China as a school professor, as an English school founder, and an international trader. And he's married to a lovely Chinese lady and had a beautiful baby boy last year. But Sadaf still has this curiosity as if he's on an adventurous trip to explore China. Moreover, to explore his own life.
First time when I went to do stand-up comedy, that was really scary. At that time in my life, I was doing a lot of challenges, and that was like just another challenge for me. And my dad always taught me that whatever you're scared of or afraid of, do it more. That will make you an efficient man. So yeah, I wanted to be efficient. I wanted to do something that scared me, and I really wanted to face my challenge, face my fears. And that was the thing, telling myself. I was nervous, oh, definitely. I was panicking. I felt like throwing up at some point. I wanted to cancel. I was really nervous, I would say. I was very, very nervous my first show. But when I went up to the stage, my heart was like really pounding. There was a big pain. I remember it very well. There was a big pain in my chest. My chest was contracting a lot. I had a bunch of my friends with me. 7 or 8 of them were my friends, and they promised me that if I fail, they're gonna laugh about it, and it's still funny. And if I do a good job, they will laugh. So it's a win-win. Like, no situation would be a bad situation. So that really helped boost my confidence, I would say.
For me, the scariest thing might be looking at a camera. I have some problems with my eyes due to the weak sight to my left eye. Sometimes I just can't focus on the lens. When I take good photos, I'm afraid that I might be the one who destroys the whole picture. And I feel humiliating when I'm confronted with the question, "Where are you looking at?"
I hadn't known Tiffany for years, but it had never occurred to me that this can be her biggest fear, simply because her eye problem is nearly unnoticeable. But I guess that's the definition of fear, is that we let it tie us down no matter how small it seems to others, right?
Hi dear, good morning. Good morning, at least it's morning time here in Argentina.
This is Barbara. She's one of the most generous and caring person I know. She's so much fun to be around. And she has this biggest, beautiful smile that put you at ease in a second.
I think I relate my scariest moment to one particular time where I felt like I was losing control over something that I thought was going to impact me way, way, way much more than it actually did. And for me, it's a love story. At that time, I was truly in love with him. I was. But I had been really frustrated for a really long time, and I knew that I had to make a decision regarding our future. I was scared that I was never going to feel good again, whole again, that a big part of me was going to be ripped off. It was scary because I felt out of control of my emotions. I felt like I was always going to love him, and despite the fact that I could recognize that we were no longer good together, that we had become strangers, despite all that, I still loved him. And so giving up, I felt that I was giving up. That moment was very scary to me.
It's really difficult for me to admit my vulnerability. I always try to be the good kid when I grow up, the top one. The one who can get the first prize, the one who can nail a decent job, the one who always stay tough no matter what happens. But actually, I'm the kind of girl who overthink. I'm sensitive, sometimes oversensitive, and I'm timid. I cry when I face uncertainties, though I never shed tears in front of others. Sometimes I'm extremely strict on myself, and I just pretend to be a tough girl, a kind of like a woman warrior who can deal with everything in a sensible and determined way, who seem to be excellent at releasing my negative emotions. In fact, I was told by some of my close friends that's their first impression on me. But as they got to know me, they realized it's not what they think. But, you know, it's hard for me to admit that. It's hard to for me to tell others I'm not that tough.
I recognize what Tiffany is saying here. Since the time I talked with people about their scariest experience, most people will begin by saying something like this. It's really hard for me to talk about this. Or, I don't know if I can share this. For example, here's Jade.
Hello, Hannah. Actually, to answer your question, I just experienced one of my scariest things. That is facing the fears and to analyze them and then select one or more to share with you.
Sometimes we tried so hard to ignore our fear because even looking at it had become scary.
So, in the spring of 2015, I lost my father. It was 5 years ago, but because it's too scary for me, I still don't think it's true. It's a fact. Sometimes I think it's a dream. And although I sometimes meet him, I talk with him in my dreams. I think the hardest one for me is to face the death. I think it's a so serious thing, and it's so scaring because it can destroy one's life and the lives around it.
Here is Srishti. I have known her since my first day in France. I just arrived from China to my school dorm, unpacking my luggage when she showed up at my door. With her short hair and leather jacket, she kind of looked like an Indian gangster. We started talking about our lives with each other, and we have never stopped talking since. I know very well that the leather jacket is not the only thing she got rid of through these years. And her look is not the only thing that had experienced an utter change. The leather jacket gangster is most likely to show up today wearing dress and boots, working in a luxury company. I have seen how she transformed these years in her own unmapped journey of becoming someone new.
The last 5 years have been a lifelong roller coaster for me. I came to France as a studious, naive Indian girl, wearing a leather jacket and having high-achieving dreams shining in her eyes. In 2015, when I arrived to France, I was madly in love with an ex-boyfriend. He was my first love and the longest relationship I've had. I planned to get married, wake up with him every morning, moving with him to his own country, and having his children, and devoting my entire life to him. There wasn't a single day we didn't talk for at least 7 to 8 hours, and I devoted my life to him. We had some small disputes from time to time, but I never left hope that we couldn't make things work. The year of 2016 became a very challenging year for us, both of us, because of our changing beliefs, our way of life. At the same time, I sensed that he was slowly and gradually losing his respect for me. One Christmas in 2016, I visited him in Canada, and I was still madly in love with him, but angry because of his rude behavior with me all the time. And I thought that that would be the way that I could probably make things work out once for all. We had our disarguments, and for the first time, when we used to go out, I noticed that he started humiliating me in public by shouting, name calling, and throwing stuffs on me. One of the afternoons, we went shopping, and I got separated with him for 20 minutes to do some window shopping. And when I came back to find him, he was very angry, and he gave me a tight slap in front of everyone, and that was at least 100 people around us. I was devastated. I was in utter shock, and I had no idea how to react. I never imagined something like that could ever happen to me, and I never told myself how to react in this kind of situation. I ran out, ashamed and betrayed, and he came looking for me. And the only thing he said to me was, why was I creating a scene over there in front of everyone? Until that experience happened to me, I didn't really know the meaning of real domestic violence. As an Indian woman, we are taught to respect our partners, love them, give ourselves to them. So when this happened, I didn't shout or slap him back. I didn't fight back. I didn't know who I was anymore. At least not what I was taught to me until that situation. I was not that Indian woman that people expected to me. After a few days, I took my flight back to Paris. I returned to my 20 meter square studio, and I told myself, how is it possible that I can love someone and hate someone at the same time? I despised him, his face, his hair, his smell, his hugs, the way he looked at me, everything that I used to love until the trip. I hated it. I just wanted to run away from everything that was attached to him. Hence, I took the hardest decision of my life to leave him.
The most rewarding experience in producing this podcast is the opportunity to learn more deeply about my friends. Sharing our fear makes us connect in a deeper level. I see a warrior in every one of my friends, in their unmapped path. I know that life isn't an easy battle. In the pursuit of love, connection, happiness, we will have to fight fear every step of the way. With most of my friends, it still feels like yesterday that we were kids, young students, innocent and worry-free. And all of a sudden, we became adults and started to handle so much and grow so much. Madeleine Lingo wrote, "When we were young, we used to think when we were grown up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. To be alive is to be vulnerable." It is also a humbling and nourishing experience in hearing those stories of my friends. Because every life has so much depth and strength in its existence. I really admire their courage of sharing their stories. It is so courageous to admit our fear, admitting that we do not have all the control over our life, admitting that we aren't that powerful sometimes. I started to feel that it is okay to be scared. Fearing is part of being alive. Fearing is an inevitable path to love, happiness, connection, and finding ourselves. And I do not believe that fear has to be such a lonely experience. While speaking about our fear, the darkness starts to seem less insurmountable. What I love the most is the ending of the stories.
And start the journey to find myself again. It took me more than 1.5 years to fall for someone again. And I still believe that I'm still looking for the person that I wanted to become when I saw myself as a 26-year-old woman. And I'm still looking for that woman. The utter fear of someone disrespecting you when you give yourself to that person is something which would stay with me probably my entire life. The lesson I learned from that experience is that from now on, I would never ever give my parts of someone, my parts to someone so much that probably there would be nothing left for me in the end.
It went well, and I went back again. I went back again like that. So after it was done, it was such a like a massage, it was such a big release. Like, oh my God, so much pressure off, and it was okay. So I'm happy I did that. Now, right now, I'm literally not scared of anything. So I would say that is the scariest thing in my life.
I wake up every day to a poster which a professor gave us at the last day of our class last year. It says, "What would you do if you were not afraid?" Now I wake up to it feeling a little differently. Every scary thing is an opportunity. Because overcoming our fear transforms us. Living through fear, especially the most nasty ones, is a rebirth. I would like to end today's episode with a beautiful quote. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. That is the end of today's episode. Thank you for listening. As you know, Unmapped is a new show, so your sharing, your review, each helping hand is very much appreciated. I'm trying to get a hold of the frequency at which I post new shows, and I think bi-weekly is a good pace. So from now on, Unmapped will be releasing a new episode every second Friday. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at unmappedpodcast or drop us an email at unmappedpodcast@gmail.com. I'm very looking forward to hearing from you. Until next time, take care and have a great weekend.